especially this part that reads, "But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." And then, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Dear friends in Christ, sometimes, even though we can do something, we don't do it so that someone else doesn't get hurt. I'd probably sum it up this way: yes, I can, but no, I won't. How many times when you're watching a pro football, a college football game, and you start blaming losing the game on that one bad call, that one bad play? How many times have we sat either watching a Little League game and yelled at the umpire because he obviously missed that strike that should have been there? Or blamed other players when they missed a pass, missed a tackle, missed a fly ball. They're the reason, right? It's obviously, you know, as a parent or as a fan or something like that, when you sit there and you look at it kind of objectively, it's obviously the wrong thing to do. One of the things that I always that I've always told people, and it took me a while to come to this perspective, is that no one play loses a football game, a baseball game, or anything else. No one bad call loses it. It was lost either way before that or right after it. Mike Matheny, who is the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, wrote a book for players, coaches, and parents called The Matheny Manifesto. It came out of his coaching Little League Baseball, and it came out of a letter that he actually wrote to the parents of his players. Essentially, it basically calls for showing integrity while playing hard. You play smart, but you respect yourself. You respect your teammates, and you respect your opponents. And you respect the sport, the craft that you're applying. It also details how parents are supposed to act at kids' games. And we've all been there. I used to coach soccer back in Arkansas for the little kids, and I coached my kids up until they were about 8 years old, and I'll never forget, I had my U8 team playing, and one of my players, her father was the soccer coach for the high school, and I would tell, when she had the ball, I would tell her, okay, you know, pass it or something like that, and he'd be yelling something different from the other side of the sideline. I'm sure I offended him, but I said, I yelled across the field and I said, "Listen, me coach, you not." So, but the key word for all of this was respect. It teaches that even though you can yell, blame, complain, and be obnoxious, you really don't want to do these things. Instead, by not doing them, what you're teaching your kids is good sportsmanship. Yes, I can, but I won't. The Apostle Paul is kind of setting forth this principle in our passage today. He says, "Now concerning food offered to idols..." Now, I know these verses sound kind of strange. Food sacrificed to idols, not eating meat. What is all this about? Well, back in Corinth, you'd find all sorts of temples and shrines to various idols and false gods. And what would happen is that they would bring sacrifices of animals to these places. And the meat of these animals would be split in three ways. First, some would be left at the altar to that false god, and then some would be taken and eaten by the people in various feasts and festivals, celebrations like a birthday or anniversary or a family event. Third, and then the rest would be taken to the marketplace to be sold. In fact, most people, if they were going to eat any meat at all, would most likely have eaten meat that had been sacrificed to an idol before it reached the marketplace. Now, what complicates matters is that these temples or shrines were kind of like the meeting places of that day. That's where, if you had a special event, that's where you went to hold the special event. The birthday party, the anniversary dinner, social gathering. Well, it was going to happen in those places where the idols were worshipped. The meat for the meal came from the altar, where it had been sacrificed to a false god. Now, some of the members of this Corinthian congregation were a little bit too puffed up in their knowledge. They said, "We know these are false gods. We know that the idols are just wood or gold or stone. We know that there's just one true God. We know this food isn't going to get us any closer to God, closer to Jesus, and it's not going to push us farther away. It's just plain food because these idols don't exist. So we can go ahead and eat at these temple meals." In the church there, however, there were people who had been very involved in these sacrifices. They couldn't separate the eating that they were doing now from the eating that they were doing when they were worshiping false idols and false gods then, before. So their conscience was hurt. Their conscience was weak because to eat this meat would actually lead them back to the idols and away from Jesus. And so Paul steps into the situation. He says, he isn't talking about things that are definitely wrong here. He isn't dealing with the actual worship of idols. That'd be kind of obvious. He could go ahead and say, you know, don't do that. I mean, that's obviously wrong. And he isn't dealing with stuff that's like Ten Commandments stuff. He's not dealing with adultery, stealing, abusive anger, using profanity, getting drunk, or all those other things that are forbidden. No, what he's talking about is this gray area about of whether you could eat the meat or not. Can we eat it in the privacy of our own homes? Can we eat it when other people see us? Paul says, yes, you can eat the meat, at least in the privacy of your home, since you know that the idols are fake and you don't mean to worship it at all. But later on in chapter 10, he actually says, no, you can't be a part of these temple meals, even if it mostly is a social gathering. That meal is participating with the demons that may be present there. That meal, Paul says, gives the wrong public witness to those who are struggling to stay faithful to Jesus. But what about when you're with other people at your own home or eating at the church as a congregation, you know, the local potluck, the Corinthian potluck, whatever's happening? What happens then? Can you eat the meat that's been sacrificed to idols then? Well, here the principle that we talked about at the beginning comes into play. Yes, I can, but no, I won't, because it might hurt somebody that I'm with. They actually might think that eating the meat that was sacrificed to the idols means it's okay to worship those false gods. So out of love for the brother or sister who could stumble, even though you could, you don't. And the operative principle here is out of love for your brother or sister. So Paul ends up saying, yes, I can, because it's not forbidden or commanded one way or the other. I have this freedom in Christ to do it. The food isn't going to make a difference one way or the other in my relationship with Jesus. But sometimes I won't eat the meat for the sake of my brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes I'll abstain for the sake of my brother or sister. Now, how could you or I apply this, since we don't have that same problem, of course, with meats that's sacrificed to idols today? There are a couple of books about this passage, and both of them mentioned, of course, the same example, and it's probably one that you know well. You know, it's alcohol, right? Alcoholism is a problem in the world today. So yeah, and we're not talking about getting drunk. Can you have a glass of wine? Can you have a drink, a beer every once in a while? Absolutely. We're not talking about getting drunk. The Bible, of course, no. According to Scripture, the Bible says that's wrong. But we all obviously can have something to drink. But let's take it to where the Apostle Paul takes it today. Did you know that in the United States, 1 in 6 people are problem drinkers or alcoholics? That's the statistics that they show. Of course, this drinking problem actually extends into families and relationships with friends and coworkers. How does this play out for those of us who are in church? Can you take a drink? Yes. But if you know that somebody there who's struggling with their alcohol consumption, then yes, you can, but no, I won't. I'm not going to take that drink. I'll just have water, juice, or soda, or something else instead. You say no because you don't want to hurt that other person by somehow encouraging that person to have a drink, which would, of course, lead them to fall back into problem drinking. That's how it works. I know I can, but for the sake of my love for someone else, I won't. Because the love I have for my neighbor, my brother or sister in Christ, this time I won't. Some people have problems with spending money. They can't keep their credit cards in line. They're in debt. If you have an opportunity to go out with that person and know that the difficulty that they have is with their finances, then the invitation is not to go shopping, but to do something else. Could you go shopping? Absolutely. But for the sake of somebody who would stumble, you don't. We could go on. Gambling is another one of those things. Is kind of the one of those things that's not either commanded nor condemned in Scripture. Do you, buy somebody a lottery ticket who has problems with gambling? You could, but you don't. Probably one of the most talked about things today is marijuana. It's against federal law. In the state of California, though, now you're allowed. It's a drug. It's a mind-altering substance. Legally, could you? Yes. But for the sake of your brother who has a problem with addiction? No, you don't. And what does it say about your Christian witness? When for years it's been illegal? No, you don't. For the sake of a brother or sister in Christ, I won't. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that you've ever done something? Have you ever exercised your freedom to do something? But you've hurt a brother or sister in the process? You think you've ever done that? I know I have. Of course, we all have. Sometimes we've done it without even knowing it. I'm sure that we've hurt somebody because we weren't even thinking about what we were doing. I imagine that we've had too many times where we weren't even taking into account somebody who was weak in the faith or in a certain area of their lives. Maybe we didn't even care if they were struggling. Maybe we just said, I can do it, so I'm gonna do it. Even in those times, though, Paul actually has some good news for you and me. Some very good news in this passage. Remember his words. He said, and so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. The brother for whom Christ died. See, Jesus died for this brother or sister in the church. The good news is that he died for you and for me as well. He died for us that our sins might be forgiven. His hands were nailed to the cross. His feet were nailed to the cross. His side was pierced. His blood flowed for you and for me, so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, even these sins. So when we feel guilty, know that Christ, we confess our sins. As we said at the beginning of our service, if we confess our sins, God is gracious and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, he goes through all of that agony, the beatings, the bloodshed to become that once for all, that one sacrifice for all. We don't have to sacrifice anything in any shrines in order to hope for forgiveness or favor from God. No meat has to be offered up to him. No other false gods or idols are allowed. We only have one Savior, one Lord, and his name is Jesus. And by his sacrifice, he forgives us. And even more in the freedom that he now gives us when it comes to those things that he doesn't forbid us, doesn't command us. He wants us to serve one another. He wants us to love one another. We're not supposed to assert our rights, but in love, to do what we can to keep our brother or sister in Christ from stumbling into sin. You see, Jesus has sacrificed himself for us. So he wants us to sacrifice our rights occasionally for others, for those in Christ. Maybe here's another way of putting it. Because of Jesus, I can do this. But because of Jesus and my love for my brother or sister in Christ, this time I won't. In his name, amen, amen.